Version number 5868, Hut in Mundi, part 17.
On that other site that I just turned out, just finished, I mentioned railway stations in Birmingham. I said Snow Hill and Euston. It should have been Snow Hill and New Street Station. Euston, of course, is London. Now, we'd all got so excited when we realised that someone had got parcels, because we knew then that our people at home would be in touch with us. And within a few days, we should all be getting parcels. So you can tell how excited we all was. But like all good things, it all went wrong. The following day, the Germans told us that there was going to be a train load, practically all our batch that was there, were being transferred across Germany to East Prussia, Eelsburg, city in East Prussia. Well, now that Eelsburg was one of the main Russian camps. There's no English there, and I've got a faint idea that we were the only English troops that went there in that in East Prussia, and it was done for the sole purpose, as the others had been done, to boost the morale of the German people in Prussia. That was the object. Well, the following day, they marched us all out, loaded us up in this train, and then we moved off across Germany. Well, there was nothing very exciting in the first part of the journey. After being pushed into one or two sidings, we eventually arrived at Berlin. Now, as you ran into Berlin, it was noticeable that the larger houses on the outskirts, the gardens ran right down to the railway, very much the same as they do in England, where they run down to the Thames. All flowers, it looked very nice. Well, when we got in Berlin station, it was the very early hours of the morning, almost daybreak, and we stood in the station, and along the platform there was one solitary porter, railway porter, and one sailor. Now this sailor came along, wandered along smoking, and when he reached our compartment, I was looking out the window, and I beckoned to him for him to give me his fag end when he finished. You're strange like hell then, can't you? Asked him if he'd give me his fag end. And he didn't seem to say yes or no or anything. He stood there and I kept watching him. I thought, blimey, don't smoke it all, save a bit. Eventually he finished it all, dropped it on the platform, put his foot on it and walked away. I thought, oh well, that's a good go again. Now what struck my mind then, I had to do a laugh to myself. When I sat in that train in Berlin station, before we went over the top of Paris, the old colonel's lecture was, as I've told you before, don't stop till you get to Berlin and don't take prisoners. I thought, oh well, if the others had come with me then, the war would have been right over because I was in Berlin. Well, after a time, in the morning, later in the morning, they moved us off again. Well, they run us into a siding somewhere and gave us some food. Now, I don't blame the civilians a bit, because they were starving them on anything else, so we were pleased to get out of anything. And I brought some bread and some meat, above all things, and it was pork I brought, and they cut little chunks about double the size of an oxo cube, just about double that size, no more, little chunks. And this slice of bread and some coffee, well, well, I was very, very lucky, because the pork that they issued out, it was tender, because the chap simply got a couple of bites and away it went and swallowed the bread. But I was hellishly lucky. The bit of pork they gave me was a knob of hard gristle, Well, that was beautiful. I chewed that for a hell of a way in the train. And I kept just put it in my lips, you know, and telling the others, I said, look at the pork. I reckon I were lucky I made that last hell of a war, chewing that little bit of gristle, and that went down very nice. Well, we travelled on then, and then eventually, I don't think there's any excitement before I get to here, we arrived at a city called Istanbul. Now, when we got out the train there, it had been previously organised, I'm certain of that, because they formed us up outside the station and kept us there a hell of a while till we went through the town, and the streets was all full of people. So I'm certain it was organised to let the people in East Prussia see how the British troops were starving and glad to give themselves up. That was the object of it. And blimey, we did look a knobby lot too, there's no doubt about that. It was all skin and bone. And they marched us from the station, and they wasn't nice guards at all. The others, Dolman, they was all right. But now we're just at Istanbul, we run up against this lot. And as we're marching along, one of the guards give me a bout with a rifle, not hard, hit me on my shoulder and arm, but it didn't, and I took a lot of notice of it. But that's the only time, all the time I was a prisoner of war, that's the only time I were ever struck by one of the guards. Well, eventually we arrived at a civilian prison, hell of a big place it was. I don't know, sort of Holloway or somewhere like that. One of these big prisons. Great big gateway, massive. And we all marched into that, into the yard, a big courtyard. And then they put us into some barracks, sort of barracks they was, and kept us there. And they never give us any food either. All the food we had was that bit of feed on the way after we left Berlin. They never gave us any at all. Well, we settled down on the floor for the night. No beds, of course, nothing, no blankets. Just lay on the floor, laying about. Well, there was one or two of their chaps that had a touch of dysentery. This is a nice subject, but there you are, I'm telling the fact. Had a touch of dysentery. And the door was left open for him to go down to the toilet, if you can call it a toilet, bloody shit. And in the night they went down. Now these toilets that they'd got was at the end of this yard, on the end of the yard, like a long shed. And there were no separate toilets at all. It was the old fashioned with a long pole, sit over the pole, and behind there was no sewage pipes around. It was just a deep pit there. Well, in the night, there was one or two went down, and they didn't come back. Well, now, all of us in there began to get things, where the hell's he gone? He's been half there, and he ain't back, so forth. And they'd know there was others there go. Well, we reckon, couldn't prove it, of course, we reckon some of them guards in the prison, them warders, I reckon I shoved them in it and finished them off. I don't know, but that was what we believed afterwards. Well, morning came, no food, and then dinner time came. Now here's something that I should never forget, and I should never forgive of them at that prison. Humiliation, it couldn't have been worse. All round that yard was a balcony, and I don't know whether in an ordinary prison life where the prisoners walk round or the guards walk round, I don't know. Well, here we go, the old wishing house. Well, you can tell how well it was organised. All round this balcony there was the leading lights of Istanbul with the wives or lady friends, and there was quite a number of German officers and their lady friends all round this balcony, a crowd of them invited there for the sole purpose and in the corner of this yard was a heap of tins, and they'd evidently been prepared and put there for that sole purpose. And when they told us then that the dinner would be ready, that was old Stella Craytack, and we got no bowl, and they told us to go to this heap of tins that had been put there special, old tins of all sorts. Now, I had a hell of a surprise. I found a tin, a nice square tin, and written round the outside of it was Maserati tea. Now, my old mother always used to buy that Maserati tea, and that was a tin. It perhaps hold three parts of a pint, you know, the size. Well, I found this, I thought that'd be beautiful. The others all found a tin, and when they was ready, the old cooker called us there. We had to line up, and they slapped this sauerkraut in, and we stood and sat about out in that yard, and there was these people laughing like hell at us, taking the mic out of us all the time, pointing to us. Well, I don't think, I'm not sure, but I can't remember us having a spoon even. We had to pick the sauerkraut out of the tin with our fingers and swallow the juice. I'm sure I can't remember having a spoon there at all. Well, they were watching, and they'd see when it was hot how you blew it and burnt your fingers and that sort of thing. It was a hell of amusement for them people. Now, to top the whole lot up afterwards, these officers and the leading toffs of Insenburg, they were smoking cigars, and there was us in the yard all down below. Every now and again, officer had almost finished his cigar and throw it to us, so that you actually fought for a puff of a smoke, just like throwing nuts to a lot of monkeys, and we want no better. All for being downgraded. You couldn't feel more ashamed of yourself, whatever happened, to be laughed at and scorned by that lot. Oh, bloody hell. I never forgot it, and I'll never forgive that party. Now, you can knock hell out of British troops, but you'll never break the spirit. And that was the lowest part we could ever be brought to. It's almost impossible to describe it, but I've done the best I could. Well, now, I said before, this is the lowest I or others could ever get. And I said then, I'll go from a tramp to a king. Now, all being well, God willing, I'll prove those words to you in later tapes. On one particular tape that I'll make specially for it, I'll prove to you there that those officers and those ladies and the gentlemen of the town would have changed, give the front teeth to have changed places with me whilst I was a prisoner of war. I'll prove that to you on tapes later on. I'm certain of that. Well, now I'll continue with the tale there. Later, yes, we've only had one night there, as far as I can remember. And they formed us all up in this courtyard and lined us all up. I came along, and there was an interpreter there for the Russians, and there was quite a number of Russian prisoners there as well, just in this jail. And this Russian, he was interpreter for them, for the Germans. And we watched him. He was a cruel sod. We watched him, and he went along the rows of these Russians asking them questions for the German wanted to know, this German warder wanted to know, and he translated it to him. Well, he barked at these Russians. Is that, well, I don't know, I couldn't understand it. He shouted at them, and there was one of the Russian, I don't know what he said to him, but evidently he must have told him what he thought of him, because this Russian interpreter, he kicked as hard as he could on his shins and fetched him down flat on the ground. I thought, blimey, what a sample. Still have the good old days, I suppose. Well, eventually, we'll move, Dave, then. And we had to be transferred then to this main Russian camp, was at Eelsburg. Now, I can't hardly judge the distance. It's a job to remember the distance between Eelsburg and Instenberg. But anyway, after we left there, we pulled into a siding somewhere and stopped there for a little while on this siding, and there was a German worker came along, railway worker I suppose. He came along and he got half a loaf in his hand, and he was beckoning to us in the car, in the different compartments as he walked along the line. Had we got some soap? He'd give us half a loaf for a bit of soap. Of course, they couldn't get soap by then, you know that. And he were begging for that, so old Yorkie, being full of beans, he always come out on top somewhere. Father good eye him, he had later on. He went to the window, and out of this tube of this tin of shaving soap, you know the long shaving, stick of shaving soap, he held that up to him and rubbed his chin and lathered, so this German thought, oh hell, lathered his face and then shaved it, you know, pretended. And Yorkie said, told him, he said, you can have this shaving soap for that half a loaf. Oh, blimey, the Jerry jumped up in the air straight away, give him the bread and had the shaving stick, and away he went. Well, now, Yorkie, up to his old tricks again, we said, give us a little bit, Yorkie. Ain't he going to give any of it to any of us? No bloody fear, I'm scoffing it. He didn't. Well, now, that train stopped there for a long time. We watched old Yorkie, kept agitated, fidgeting. He said, when the hell are they going to move us? He got proper agitated, and so we found out what it was then. So we said to Yorkie, what the hell are you worrying about? And we said, if that bloke finds out, he said, he'd kill me. I said, well, you'll have to get under the seat if he comes back. He said, he'd kill me. I said, what is it then? He said, that brother wasn't shaving soap at all. He said, what that was, it was for killing lice under your collar and under your arms and that, to rub it on to kill the lice. And he said, I don't know what the hell he'll do when he starts to have a shave with it. Well, to Yorkie's great relief, we moved on. And that's funny when you're starving, how quick tempered you get. You can't fight, but you get quick tempered, and if you have a go at each other, you only push the other one over, you don't hit him, you ain't got enough strength. And now, in that compartment, a chap has sat by me for all through the journey. He got a book. I don't know where he got it from, but it was a nice novel. And he said to me when we left Dolman, I don't know whether he'd had a pass or not, but he got a nice novel. And he said, would you like to read it? I said, yes, I would. Well, I read that all the way from Dolman right across. And then after we left Instenberg, I was still reading it. And I don't know what the hell happened, whether I said something wrong or read it. But he said, give me my book back. So I had to give it him back, and you know, I never did finish that tale. It were a blooming good tale, but I never finished it. He had it back, and he wouldn't let me have it again. Well, after travelling some distance, we arrived at Eelsburg, that's it. Well, that's a large town, a city. And it was a massive Russian camp, all Russians. And we evidently were the first English prisoners to be there. I sort of gawked at us to see what we looked like, I suppose. But while we was there, they give us a feed, a bit of a feed. And it was similar to the Dolman food, very, very poor. Well, they hadn't got it themselves. And I don't think we stayed there but the day. I wonder now whether we stayed there one night, I'm not sure. But anyway, while we was there, there was one of these Russians that got a razor. Well, I hadn't had a shave for hell of a while. And I asked him if he'd shave me. He said, yes, for 8p. The value of 8p in our money. Well, I'd got a couple left out of their 2 marks what I love me boots for. So I'll give him this halfpenny, and he got no soap, of course, couldn't get soap, kept wetting me face, and he got this razor. Well, what the hell he done, I don't he cut any of them, he pulled them all out, it was sore as hell. But he scraped all the whiskers off somehow, and that was a halfpenny. So I done very well out of that, and I felt quite refreshed. But soap, I got none whatever. Then following that, we were sectioned out into little parties. And we was to be spread, well, we actually were, of course, to go to different parts of East Prussia, different villages or wherever it may be, 10 or a dozen of you perhaps in one part, and a little batch in another, to be spread all over that section of East Prussia, with the main centre being at Healdsburg. Now, our section was formed, and by the way, it was 6 or 7 more weeks before we had our first parcel. Unfortunately, there was quite a number of the prisoners died, couldn't make it last day. Well, as far as we were concerned, we were formed in a little section. There was 9 of us in the section, and I've got the photos now of that 9, the actual photographs of them. We were put together, and I can't remember now how the hell we got to this village. I can't remember whether we marched to it, were taken to it, or what. I can't remember this. I've tried ever so hard, but it's no good. We got to a small village called Domba, a very small village, and us 9 Britishers were sent there. And they called what they call commandos. They termed them commandos, these places that you went to. And there was a lager in it. Well, a lager is a camp. Well, now on this particular occasion, the lager that we went to was a brand new building in the village, a large corner house with cellars all underneath it, and the room, ground floor rooms, and then the bedrooms. It was quite a large building that was built solely for the intention of civil population later on. Now, if I should repeat myself a few times, well, you'll have to put up with it. It's doing what I want it to do, and that is help me pass these cold winter nights away. Well, now, as far as I can remember, when we got to that house, there was what they call a postman. Well, the postman is, of course, the one in charge, the German in charge. And he had a helper with him, a little fat old German. Well, now, this postman, he wasn't too good. He was very cruel at times. But the little fat cook, he wasn't a bad old stick at all. Well, now, as near as I can remember, when we went into that cellar, there was 9 of us British, and I'm sure there were 3 French, if not more. There was 2 Italians, there were 3 Romanians, and 1 Serbian. He was a nice chap. We got on well together, we did, him and us crowd, and the rest was Russian. Now, I can't remember the exact number, but it was, if I said 20, I wouldn't be far out. Well, that was the issue of us that was in that cellar. And I think I'm getting towards the end of time now. I'll fill my old cloth and see how that's going. I'll fill, then I'll work half hour tape, and feel around the clock and see how I'm getting on. Yeah, I think my half hour's up. Sure it is. Well, good night. I'll have another go tomorrow, all being well. Well, now, little Ashley tells me that there's a bit of space left on the end of this tape. So I'll try and tell you something that very few people know about now, and certainly after the First War. Because when the Germans was breaking through Belgium, northern France. I was stopped by the British and French, which originally form the line of the trenches for the Western Front, and they both dug in and formed the trenches afterwards. Now, why they were stopped? Many books, many tales have been told how, such as the angels and Mons and all those sort of things, but now I'll tell you the real reason why they was stopped. That was as they were storming through there, at the same time the Russians was breaking into East Prussia. Well, now Prussia was that used to house all the aristocracy of the German nation. All the top notches lived in Prussia. Well, now the Russians was breaking in and got so far in, and wherever they went, they simply destroyed everything. Now, why I know that was because the village that I'm going to talk about in these tapes so much later had been completely destroyed. Now, I've got photographs of that village, which will show it to you. Well, the Germans withdrew from the Western Front as quickly as they could, divisions and army corps, and rushed them back to the Eastern Front, and so drove the Russians completely out of the country. Now, that is the truth, and I've got the photograph to prove it. The village I'm talking about, of course, was Domna.